So we're learning a Maimar by the Friedrich Rebbe, the previous Rebbe. This course talks about many things, but in general talks about Avoida. what's the work we're supposed to be doing with ourselves? Okay, Vehinei, now, Atayinu k'shebinyoni amidois, the pleasure that a person has in emotions, are yesh bazeh chiluki madreges, there are different levels, not everything is the same. The different levels of pleasure that an emotion can cause are according to the level and the way of the goodness that a person is doing, the kindness that a person is doing. If we're talking about that this person is good and kind because that's its nature, it's normal for him or for her, without any mixture or discernment of the mind. It doesn't really matter what the mind says. Like, you do good because you're a good person. Or another option, or another option is that your goodness, your kindness, is mixed with the discernment of the mind to know that this is really good. Like, there's good, toiv, and there's toiv be'emes, like really good. Because sometimes doing something good for somebody else, giving something to somebody else, is not really good. But I'm doing good, I'm doing kindness, I'm giving. Like, give 200 candies to your son. Yeah, but 200 candies, you know, all the teeth, etc., etc., that's not really good. Yeah, but it sounds good. Yeah, but it's not toiv be'emes. It's not really good. Another idea, whether there's a more internal intention, like deep intention in doing good to this person. There are people, he's going to explain now these different levels. There are people that since they have a essential nature of doing good, they do good and kindness with anybody that comes to hand. Everybody. Without any mixture of your mind, of his mind at all. What's the mind deciding over here? Is this really good or not? No, I don't care. Just do good. Whatever. What you feel is good. And only because the other person is asking you this particular thing. And if somebody else is asking you for this, definitely he wants this, or she wants this, whatever, it's the same thing. And therefore, this person that is a good person fulfills whatever the other one is asking. And since this is a essentially good person, he has pleasure of this. Like, again, the terrible example of somebody screaming in the 10th floor, throw me, I want to die. And this, I'm a good guy, I'm just throw you away. I'm not thinking whether this is good or not. You want this, I do what you do, what you want. I'm just doing what you want. You just ask me. I'm pushing you. Why not? It's good. And he has pleasure, like the other one is falling. And you have really smiling and pleasure. I just did something good for somebody else. He was asking for this. Of course, it's bizarre, but this is what he's talking about. He's a good guy. I do whatever you want. So again, he has tremendous pleasure out of this. I did something good for somebody else. I'm happy. Because I just fulfilled whatever he asked. Now, in this particular case, the pleasure is an animal pleasure, animalistic pleasure. The abeheima ikaramidois, an animal in general, is emotion. Vein la das klal, and cannot understand at all. An animal doesn't understand, it just functions out of pleasure. Kemoken. Adam kasher misnaeg, I'm sorry, umisaneg bepeules amidus bilvad. The same thing when a person just has pleasure and conducts himself out of emotions, without the mind really deciding whether this is really good or not, a person behaving like this, even though you actually did what somebody else asked from you. And this guy is only functioning out of overpowering, so to speak, of your natural love. That means, he's so happy that he just did something good. With them, he has pleasure with this that he just did. Them anderen was jener hot gewollt. I did some for the other person, something that the other person wanted. I'm so happy. I did something that somebody else wanted. It could be, in most of cases, I had this, it's not in the Maimar, but most of the cases, you actually did something that is not really good. You think it's good, because the other one asked from you that, but it's not really good. And sometimes you can cause actually pain and damage, really damage. I'll give you an example. A small child sees a knife, or shear davar mazik, or whatever thing that can cause damage. And the child wants this so much. And he's crying, and he's asking, give me the knife, I want the knife. Hine, now. Somebody that is actually good without discernment of the mind, and automatically fulfills the request of the child, he can cause really suffering and damage. The child doesn't know how to handle a knife. Same thing happens with every single thing that there's no discernment of the mind. It can cause damage. The emotions of a human being have to be according to the mind, specifically. Just the same thing happens with goodness and kindness. You have to distinguish between good and bad. Sometimes you have to do good for somebody that really doesn't deserve it. However, why do you do good to this guy that doesn't deserve it? Because there's an inner intention, there's a bigger, so to speak, a good thing that's going to come out of this. Just like the example of Avram, he used to give food and drink to, like it says Arabim, which means like Arabs. In those days there was no Muslim, no Islam, whatever, they were just pagans. Why would Avram give food to somebody that believes in many gods? Because he had the intention of making people know that there's a God in the world. And he wanted to bring closer the people to godliness. See, interesting, he says, abrios, creatures. This guy is such a terrible guy that he's not even called a human being. He's called a creature. God creates him. Even so, Avraham brought them in the house and gave them food and talked about God. And why? Because he had an intention. Where did the Rebbe got this from? So he brings the proof. As the Talmud says in Soita over there, Davyud, whatever, page 10, Al Pasuk Vayikra Sham Beshem Avaye Kelaylam. Avram used to call over there in the name of God, the God of the world. Omar Resh Lakish, the Talmud says Resh Lakish used to say, Al Tikre Vayikra Ela Vayakri. Don't read, so to speak, that Avram called himself in the name of God. Rather, Vayakri, he made other people call in the name of God. And the Rebbe brings the commentary of Rashi within parentheses. Lomad levriyos likrei sham b'shem avaye keloilam. Rashi. Avram taught people, creatures, to call in the name of God the world, the God of the world. And the Rebbe now explains in his own words, Shehikri Avram lishmo yishra kadosh baruch hu befe koloi bebeshav. Avram made every single person that came and went, etc., through his tent, call with his mouth in the name of God. Keitzat, how did he do this? After they ate and they drank, they stood up to give a blessing to Avram that gave them just food, etc. Omar lahem, so Avram used to say to them, you think you ate something that belongs to me? You just ate something that belongs to God, the Lord of the world, so to speak. So Avram used to continue, you should thank, you should praise, and you should bless to from whom you just ate, that he spoke and he created the world. So give a blessing to God, said Avram. Arei, now the Rebbe picks from the Gemara, from the Talmud, and continues. Arei shehaya achesed shelo al pi avchan zaseichel. So we see clearly that Avram used to do kindness, but according to the intellect. I'm going to make you a favor, but you know what? Thank God. Don't thank me. Bekavana pnimis v'asiyas hatov shelo. There was a inner, deep intention in the kindness that he used to do. Vehine, now. We see something more on this story, so to speak, of doing kindness and goodness, etc., from Avram. There's another point over here. Not only his doing kindness was with intellect and with an inner intention, in order to bring people closer to God. There's something else. In etzem asiyas atoy v'chesed, eine mitzativo yatoy, kim bishvil shehu rotzen Hashem. It's a very important point. The essential doing good and kindness was not because his nature was to be a good guy. No. Because this is the will of God. It's two different worlds. If I do a favor to somebody else because I'm a good guy, I'm not really serving God. It comes out that because God is good and he wants kindness, I'm doing kindness. Oh, look, it's the same thing that God likes. Am I serving God? No. I'm just expressing my own nature. But if you do something that is good and you actually enjoy it, but because God said to do so, oh, that's serving God. That's not serving yourself. It's serving God. This is the reality, like the truth of observing all the commandments. The fulfillment of commandments has to be only. He says, ach verak. It's like two similar words. Only, really only, because this is what God decreed. Parenthesis, not in the Maimar, but the Rambam says this clearly about Bnei Noach. That the reason why Bnei Noach should fulfill the commandments is because God said this to Moshe Rabbeinu on Mount Sinai, and he passed it away generation after generation. The Hine. Now, b'mitzvos yesh chukim u'mishpatim. There are two types of commandments. There are chukim, are called usually laws. He's going to explain. That's why I don't want to go beyond what he's saying over here. And mishpatim, and rules. Laws and rules, let's call it like that. The mishpatim and mitzvos amuvanim al pisaychem. This thing that we call rules are laws that you can understand with your mind. The gam seichel enushi maskim aleihem kemo kivud avohem tzedaka lizar migneiva gzeila v'chule. That even the human mind, and he means Jews and non-Jews, clearly, this is what it means. And seichel enushi means like human, normal human mind agrees to these things. Like honor your parents, help people with charity, and be careful with not stealing, not robbing, etc. V'yesh mitzvos shem chukim, and there are other kinds of commandments. There are chukim means laws. Harei seichel enushi yo'omar shetzrichim lekayim es chukim ve'yisa chayus shemekayim es mishpatim. Listen to these words, are very interesting. Usually chukim are laws, I'll translate in a second. Usually chukim are laws, irrational laws. No, don't make any sense. They don't make any sense. Like, for instance, in the Jewish, of course, the Jewish 613, don't eat pork. Why not? Because God said so. Doesn't make any sense. Okay, so let's go back to the phrase of the Rebbe. Seichel Enushi, human, normal mind, would say like this. Shetzrichim lekayim es hachukim, you have to fulfill the irrational laws. Be'oy seyachayus shemekayim es hamishpatim, with the same strength, enthusiasm, etc., that you fulfill the rational laws. Stop before going forward. What is he saying? Like, when you understand something, you enjoy it. And you do it really enjoying because you understand it. That's good. So you have enthusiasm in what you do. That's fine. When you do something without understanding, because somebody told you that you have to do it, and you don't get it, so you don't have the same enthusiasm. Okay, you do it because whatever, I believe in, and I'll do it. It's fine, but you don't really enjoy it. So what's the regular, normal human mind? Okay, take the enthusiasm of the things you understand and use it to fulfill the things you don't understand. And it's hard. It's not so easy. It's hard. Okay, let's move on. Behind, that means, the keshem shebemishpatim, just as in the rational laws, mishpatim. If it wouldn't have been a commandment by God, like honor your parents, we would have done it anyway because we're normal people and we think, okay, my parents gave me education, life, etc., etc., so I'll honor them, I'll help them. The same, with the same enthusiasm, you have to fulfill the irrational laws. Because this is what God said. Okay, I'll do it. Aval be'emes, but in truth, it's the other way around, says the Rebbe. No. Be'emes hayu shetzrich. I'm sorry. Ha'emesu, aval ha'emesu shetzrichim lekayim es mitzvos hamishpatim kimo shemekayim es hachukim. The truth is the other way around. You have to fulfill the rational laws just as you fulfill the irrational law. What does that mean? This is because the main idea of fulfilling commandments, mitzvahs, is because this is what God said. So it's true. If you look at enthusiasm, it's more fulfilling, more satisfying, doing things that a person understands. But in terms of what's really a mitzvah, what does it mean to fulfill God's will? It doesn't matter whether you like it or not. It doesn't matter whether you understand it or not. This is God's will. That's what matters. Therefore, so the Rebbe just turned the phrase around. You have to fulfill the mishpatim that you understand. Do them just as if you wouldn't understand them. Because God said so, not because you understand. And this is what he wants to prove from Avram. This was the work actually of Avram. In his quality, so to speak, attribute of kindness, all the things that he did were not because he was a good guy by nature. Because he wanted to fulfill the will of God. ולכן, therefore, כאשר לא נשלמה הכוון הזו, היה בו גם מידס דדין וגודה. This is the proof, and this is a beautiful idea in Hasidus in general. Therefore, let's suppose this Arbim, this whatever, pagans, did not want to thank God. What do you mean, God? Your God doesn't exist. So therefore, when his kavana, his intention was not fulfilled, Avram had also gvura, strength. And he became like a heavy guy, you know. If you're not going to bless my God, you're in trouble, you know. And he's going to explain now. Just like the Midrash says in Parshas Memtes, in the chapter, whatever, 49. The Midrash is not divided in chapters, but it doesn't matter. Avram haya mekabel es ha'oivrim v'shavim. The Midrash says like this. Avram used to receive all the people that passed through his tent, when they would eat and drink, Abraham would say to them, bless. Like, bless the Lord, so to speak. Omruloi manomar. So they would ask, what do you want us to say? Like, what do you mean? What's a blessing? Nobody knows what you're talking about. Omar lahem. So Avram used to explain, I'll give you a whole class on Shulchan Aruch. What's a blessing? Omru baruch keleilam shachal mishalai. You should say, blessed. Baruch, blessed is the Almighty of the world that we ate from him. And actually, this is a very strong blessing that Bnei Noach should say after eating. This is where it comes from, actually. This is the source. Okay, so this is what Abraham used to say to them. Bless God that you just ate from him. And the Midrash continues. Im mekabel alav ubarich, if the person would accept and make the blessing, ava achil v'shase v'azil, he would eat, drink, and just move on, go away. No problem. Ve'iloi, hava mekabel alei ubarich, but if the person would not accept and bless God, hava amar loy, so Avram used to say like this, hepa, hav made alach, you have to pay me. I just gave you food and drink, pay me. Ve'omar, so the person would say, my avas lach alai, how much do I owe you? Hava amar loy, so Avram would say, chat kosit, one kosit. What is a kosit? So the Rebbe brings in parentheses. Pirush Aruch. Aruch is one of the book. It's a book. Famous book. It's one of the first dictionaries of Talmud. Very old. Like in Italy, a year 1200, something like that. So the Aruch translates like this. Even before 1200. Kli shel cheres, oy matchus, oy mikol davar. We're talking about a vessel of ceramics, I don't know how to say it, or metal, or whatever. It's just a vessel. Kosit means a vessel in Aramaic. The chamar of wine. I just gave you a whole vessel of wine, like a big, huge cup of wine. Be'asara polarin. And you owe me 10 polarin, which is a type of, the Rebbe brings in parentheses, min matveya. It's a type of coin. But the idea behind it is like, okay, I just gave you a cup of wine, you owe me $10,000. What do you mean? One cup of wine? 10,000? What? Which kind of wine is this? The chad litra de kupar, and one measurement of flesh, of basar, via sarapolarin, another $10,000. We had eagle de rifta, and one piece of bread, lechem says in parentheses, we have another $10,000. So you owe me $30,000, okay? Did you like the food? Man yahiv lach hamra b'midbara, and Avram used to explain, who is going to give you wine in the middle of the desert? Forget it. Nobody has wine. Man yahiv kupar b'midbara, who's going to give you flesh in the middle of the desert? Who's going to give you a good steak in the middle of the desert? Nobody. Man yaiv la vigula de midbara, who's going to give you a good piece of bread in the desert? And the Rebbe explains in parentheses, min asan lechame oilam b'midbar basar lechem yaim, who is going to give in the middle of the desert all these delicious foods? Man de ava chame, ava akosa, de ava akalei, this is very strong. A person would see that Avram was really pushing and was really serious. It's no joke over here. You really owe me $30,000 in the middle of the desert, and you better pay. You better pay. In the between parentheses, Mishehaya Roya Ezra Hatzara Hi Shaya Meitzar Loi, from the moment that this invited guy used to see the pressure that Avram used to put upon him, Ava Omar, he used to say, Baruch Keloilem Shachal Mishaloi. Okay, I'm going to bless. Forget it. Bless is the Lord that I just ate from him. And that's it. The Zehu, now the Rebbe explains. Finish the Midrash, and the Rebbe explains. The Zehu Gvura Betoikit. This is really strength. Lifol al azulas shiyase behechre. He's forcing the other person to do what he wants to do. You're going to bless. Otherwise, pay me $30,000. And this is the proof, he didn't finish, like a few more lines, but this is the proof that Avram would not be a good guy because his nature was to be a good guy. No, because if you need strength, I have it. Don't worry. The main point over here is, what does God want? God wants to be, so to speak, publicized in the world. And I'll do that. If I can do it nicely, better, because that's my nature. And I enjoy. But if it doesn't come out nicely, I don't care. I'm going to do it anyway. V'zehu diksiv, that's why it's written by Avraham, regarding Avraham. Ki ata yodaiti ki yore lekimata. Now I know, says God, that you are fearful of God. Oh, fearful means gvura, severity, not kindness. Behainu, that means, agam shebetivo yihaya isha chesed be'etzem, even though, naturally speaking, he was a good guy, he was a kind guy, mikol makrim hine anagotze yaisav yashpas ha'chesed al pi ha'seichel davka. His behavior was to give kindness, but according to the intellect. The same thing happens with all the behaviors, all the attributes, etc. They have to be guided by the mind. Otherwise, not good. Now, even though, as explained, in this thing of emotions, there's a tremendous pleasure. There's something beyond this, above this. This is the pleasure in intellectual things, wisdom. By when a person understands something, there's a tremendous pleasure, incredible pleasure. As we see in practical sense, when a person learns something and understands it really, and you grasp the idea, you have really a lot of pleasure. In particular, when you really have a new idea, there's an incredible pleasure. As we say, in the Talmud it says, the face of Rabbi Abahu learned everything that was available to learn, and he was kind of sad, you know, there's nothing new to learn. So when he found a new teaching, woo, he was shining, happy. The pleasure of intellect is a real pleasure, and it's very, very elevated. And a human being, because he is the most select and elevated creation, he has to, the goodness, the kindness that he does, and the pleasure that he has to be in spiritual things, not in material things. Animals also have pleasure in material things. You're not an animal, you're a human being. In particular, in wisdom. That's where the pleasure of a human being has to be. But in this, you will really have pleasure in your soul, so to speak. Because this is the virtue that a human being has over all the rest of the creations in the intellect that was given to him. And the soul of a human being is a thinking soul. A human being thinks. See, this is a very interesting. He's not talking about Bnei Noach, and it's not a maimar for Bnei Noach. But clearly, he's explaining that Bnei Noach don't come to me and say that they are animals, and they're nothing, and they're not even human beings. No. And the Rebbe is saying this clearly. Look, let's go again for the phrase. This is a virtue of a human being upon all over the creations, in the seichel, in the intellect that was given to him. But his soul is a thinking soul. And now he goes further. Bifrat, in particular, the nefesh lekis sheboy, the godly soul. It's okay. Maybe Bnei Noach don't have a godly soul. Okay, that's true. The Tanya says this, the Chassidus says this, that's fine. But then come to me and say that they're animals. Epa, no. You got it wrong. They have nefesh ha-sichlis. They have an intellectual soul. This godly soul, now he's talking about Jews, of course, this comes from a very high level called Chochma Elyona, wisdom of God, whatever. אז it's no. וצריך להיות כל המשך אז נפשו וכל חפצו ומגמסי בעסק חוכמס התוירה. And it has to be the projection, so to speak, of his soul and the desire and his will, etc., in learning the wisdom of Torah. ובזה תסנג נפשי, and this is going to produce pleasure in his soul. He's clearly talking about Jews, but he's saying, okay, non-Jews can have pleasure in wisdom, of course. A Jew, what should he have pleasure on? Torah. That's what he should be thinking about, Torah. He's not saying Bnei Noach should learn or should not learn Torah. He's not talking about that. It's a different, like, subject. He's not talking about that. He's just saying, of course, the people that Rebbe was talking to were Jews. So he's trying to push, you know, go learn Torah. ועל ידי זה, תיסה לנפשו בעירו ימיילה והמדרגה של לקח ונברא. And through this, through learning Torah, he's going to elevate himself to the real elevation that he was created for. והנה כל דבר שנברא בעולם הוא לצורך איזה תכלס. Because the idea is like this, every single thing in the world, what's created in the world, has a תכלס, an objective. Why did God create this particular thing? ותכלס כל דבר הוא כשאויל למעלה ממדרגה עצמוי. And the real objective, and like, when a person goes beyond himself and really reaches real heights, is when you go beyond your own self. So he's going to explain. Briefly, but he's going to explain. דכללוס כל הנבראים נחלקו לבדה למדרגס. In general, creations are divided into four levels. דוימם צומח חיים מדבר. The inanimate things, like minerals, plants, animals, and human beings. דתכלס הדוימם הוא כאשר אוילה למעלה ממדרגותו ובצמיח חציר וכולי. Kind of poetic. The objective, the most objective and higher level, so to speak, of an inanimate thing is when it becomes a plant. When it goes beyond being an inanimate thing, and suddenly matzmiach chotzir. He's paraphrasing a Tehillim, the Psalms. He grows. Suddenly he grows. V'tachlis ad tzomeyach keshehu nichal b'chai. And the real objective of a plant is when it becomes animal. Suddenly you became animal. And what's the objective of an animal when it becomes included into a human being? And the objective of a human being is when his spirit goes up. And it becomes unified, so to speak, included into the spirituality that is beyond himself. When does this happen? When a person is learning Torah. That this is the wisdom of God. And between parentheses, again, the Rebbe is not talking about this, but it's interesting anyway to note. The Talmud says clearly, when a non-Jew is learning his commandments, and whatever is related to them, he's like a high priest in Yom Kippur. So don't come to say, don't learn Torah. What do you mean don't learn Torah? The Talmud says you can learn Torah. Okay, we can argue which parts of Torah. That's okay, but definitely. And when a person learns Torah, it becomes elevated. And the Torah and God are one thing, so you become united with God. And when a person is really learning Torah, and he looks properly to understand the things the way they really are, he becomes unified with his wisdom, God's wisdom, God's will, בבחינת איחוד עצום, in a fantastic way, וכמו שכתוב בספר של בינינו, חלק א' פרק ה', and as it's written in Tanya, in the first part, in the fifth chapter, there's a unification, that nothing in the physical world is like that unification. Okay, so what we learned is that there are different levels of pleasure, and the highest pleasure is actually Torah. From up, down, so to speak, Torah, wisdom in general, then he says, midos, emotions, and then he said, akoil, voice, that's nice, and then he said, eating, just food. The lowest thing that there's around is food, because animals also enjoy food.